get to if I get to it, but I never get to it. And so I'll continue a different message on the same passage. Ezekiel 16. Because a phrase has been in my mind. I've never noticed it until, I mean, I've read it, I don't know how many times, but I just have noticed it this last, I'd say 2 months. I've been kind of dwelling in my mind. Ezekiel 16. And let's stand together. Let's get our legs stretched for a minute, and we'll read these verses responsively. We'll read every other verse together. I'll read the first verse, and then together we'll read the second verse, and so forth. I'll start with verse 26. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbors, great of flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast insatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman, in that thou buildest thine enemy's place in the head of every way, and makest thine high places in every street, and hast not been as an harlot in the which... Good. We're going to pray. We'll talk about this passage here about how weak is thine heart. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God, and I pray tonight that you would help us to see what you have. I pray you'd give us ears to hear truly, Father, not just physical ears, but spiritual ears that submit and listen and say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way, Lord. We thank you for the word of God, and Lord, this is a graphic, hard part of the Bible. But sometimes you needed to do that to get people's attention. We pray now you'd help us to gain heavenly truth. I pray you control my tongue, my mind, my eyes, my everything, Lord, and just work through me and powerfully speak to our hearts. And I commit this service and this time and this message to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord illustrates how he feels to Israel, this nation, in this chapter. With a very, very intense story, and I preach a message on this story, and I won't spend all the time on this story, but God illustrates him as a man who, a very rich, wealthy man, maybe even a king, who drives by and finds a baby in the field, the baby of immorality and fornication and lewdness, maybe a prostitute's baby or something very, very bad, something like that, of some very wicked people, and they basically... literally just cut the cord and drop the baby in a field and take off and leave the baby there. They don't even tie the cord. They don't do anything. They just leave the baby to die. The baby's still all bloody and dying in the field. And the Lord says, I came by and saw you there, hopeless, without life or strength, ready to die. And I said, you live. And God repeats that twice. Yea, said unto you, live. And he said, I saw you in your blood, and I saw you in your ickiness. I saw you in your grossness and in your death there. Being ready to die, and I told you to live, and I took you up and wrapped you in my own coat, and I took you home and made you mine. And he says, that's what you are to me, Israel. I want you to understand how I feel about you. You were this nation with no hope, just a couple wandering people who were about to die and be killed several times by enemies. And I took you and I made you my people. And you're the apple of my eye, the Bible says. God feels very special about Israel. And that's what this story. In verse 6, if you go back there, it says, when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. And God said, I cared very much for you. And he says, I took you. And he ends up, he tells a whole story about how not only did he take this child and make it his, he gave her the greatest clothes, the greatest treasures, the greatest things. He decked her in the most beautiful jewelry and the most beautiful robes, gave her a beautiful bed, and he made her a princess. And eventually fell in love and made this princess his. And she became his and became this beautiful, beautiful woman who is exceedingly beautiful and amazingly beautiful. And then she goes and changes very drastically. And God takes us, and all throughout Ezekiel and Isaiah also and Jeremiah, God is going many, many different ways. And let me explain to you how I feel towards you and how frustrated it is for me to see you this way and see what you're doing. Because I want you to understand, I have feelings, and though I'm God, you're made in my image, and I have feelings. And I feel this way towards you as this man would feel if his wife that he saved from the field were to go off into immorality and just sleep around with everything and everybody, everywhere. That's how I feel. Is you're like, you've done with me because you've gone to these false gods and gone after this and forgotten me and given your money to other things and not given to me and taken care of my house. And you just throw me in the back burner and went to other people. And he says, you've committed adultery, 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 adultery. Now, he's punished them for this, and he's explained this throughout the books. I'm going to do this for you. But he wants them to understand how bad. If you ever tried to explain to somebody that you care deeply about and you don't think they care back, you know what I mean about that? You care more than they do. And or they don't understand what they're doing and how bad damaging it is. And you think about 10 different ways to say the same thing. You try to explain it to them. And God just going back and forth and saying over and over, let me tell you what you're doing. Let me tell you how I feel about this. Let me tell you how I feel about you. Because I love you very, very closely. And God, of course, says the same thing about us. He says in James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know you not the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And God says, when we go and embrace the world when we're his, when he's made us his children and made us his and the bride of Christ and all the things he compares us to, he says, you're cheating on me. And you're an adulterer. And it hurts me very bad, just like a husband who's been a good husband or a wife who's been a good wife, if the spouse goes and cheats on them. But they did it vitriol, and Israel did it blatantly and over and over. And they sometimes you try to explain things to people, and Israel just doesn't get it. And God warned them, I'm going to punish you really bad for this. It's really, really bad what you're doing. I'm going to punish you really bad. And they just couldn't. You ever talk to somebody who doesn't get it? You're really going to be hurt. You're really going to mess up. It's really not good. And this is how bad this is. You know what this? Oh, yeah, sure, I know. It's not going to be like that. I know what I'm doing. Come on, I'm 16. I mean, I know what I'm doing, and I can handle this, and I got it under control. And you know what? I'll be able to find a job someday, and I'll just mess around, and I'll find the right person. So, you know, it'll work out fine. I know what I'm doing. I can handle the drugs. And you wish, the Bible says, thou mayst strangle people occasionally, and you feel like doing that, and you get angry and frustrated, and God, and people just don't get it. And God comes very, very bearing his heart in this chapter, and he wants to tell them just some things that you're doing here and your mistakes you're making, because these are destroying you. And Israel at this time was miserable. Understand that. God put him in misery and kind of gave him a warning, hey, it's going to get really bad. Aren't you miserable now? Let your gods deliver you now. I let this happen to you. And he put them into minor problems and bondage and destruction. But he says, the big one's coming if you keep this up. And he wanted them to understand, but he couldn't quite get them to feel like he wanted them to feel. But I think if we're wise, we will be as Christians what Israel should have done and said, okay, I get it, Lord. And I know how you feel. And I understand what you're trying to say here. And I'm not going to do that, though Israel might have been dumb, and Israel never listened. And they went into that. God said, you became mine. Verse 8, now when I have passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time is the time of thy love, and I spread my skirt over thee and cover thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, and said, thus saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water and clothed thee, and did all the great things for thee, and took care of you, and raised you up and made you mine. When you get saved, when you accept Christ, you become his. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're the bride of Christ. You become God's, and he owns you. And you are committed to him. My wife and I, on the 21st, have committed ourselves to each other 18 years ago in marriage. And we said, we are each other's. We're faithful to each other, better, worse, rich or poor. Not for our happiness, not what makes each one of us happy, but for the other one, and to be one in Christ. And even if it's tough and hard, we're going to love each other and be there for each other. And that's, you became mine, it says here. And God says, you did that. But then he says, you did some mistakes after this. You are so famous in verse 13 and verse 14. You are decked with gold and silver. You are beautiful and exceedingly beautiful at the end of verse 13. And did prosper into a kingdom, and thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty. And it was perfect throughout thy comeliness. I had put upon thee. He said, I made you what you are. Everybody talked about how amazing you were and what you had and how blessed you were. But then the next verse, the tragic part is, it says, but thou didst trust in thine own beauty. I gave you that beauty, but you trusted in it and played the harlot because of thy renown. God said, I'm going to make you beautiful and wonderful. And everybody's going to say, aren't you blessed? Look how richly you're clothed. Look how wonderful you are. Look how happy you are, how well-trained you are. Look at your manners and the way you hold yourself and your bearing and everything else. You're beautiful. And you should have said, yes, look what my husband did for me. He found me as in a field, a child of who knows what kind of wickedness and dying and everything else. And I had the most wonderful husband in the entire world. But that's not what she did. She said, really? And I'm also very willing. And I have beauty to give me whatever I want, whenever I want. And you know what? I don't need a husband anymore. I got beauty. I got greatness. Everybody pays attention to me. I don't need you anymore. See ya. They trusted in her own beauty, it said. Very familiar to another person who trusted in their own beauty and it destroyed them. And that was Ezekiel. That was the devil in Ezekiel, chapter, if you go forward to chapter 28. That's one of the ways the devil fell, is because he got enamored with his own beauty. The Bible says that the devil was the most beautiful creature ever created. He was very, very a beautiful creature with jewels and music and amazing things coming out of him. And he got enamored with his own beauty. I have the same problem often. But he became enamored with his own beauty and thought he was something else and forgot about God to give God glory for what he had. Verse chapter 28 is talking to Lucifer. And verse 5, by thy great wisdom and by thy traffic hast thou increased thy riches, and thine heart is lifted up because of thy riches. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as a heart of God, behold, I'll bring strangers upon thee, and you'll be destroyed. Go forward to verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And by the way, there's no king of Tyre. There's no Tyrus. There's no area called that. It's talking to Lucifer. We'll see that. No king was here. No king was created perfect. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And a lot of this happens at the end time, his kingdom. And thou hast sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Covering cherub. Remember the cherubims in the Ark of the Covenant? They had wings that covered the Ark of the Covenant. And he's a cherub, an anointed cherub, a very special angel, one of the three archangels. And he fell. Verse 17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, Revelation 13, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities and by the iniquity of thy traffic. There's many passages we can read on Satan, Isaiah 14 and other chapters. It says he was created and he was perfect in beauty. But it says Satan was so beautiful and so amazing and such an incredible creature that he just started looking at himself and saying, I am the most beautiful creature ever created. Why isn't anyone worshiping me? And you know what? My heart's like the heart of God. I'm an amazing angel. And you know what? I'll be like the Most High. I'll be like God. I should be like God. And I can be there and I can be God. I'm beautiful. And his job was to say, Lord, look at me. You made me so beautiful, Lord. You're so wonderful, so powerful. Everyone, look what God did for me. Just like we see in Ezekiel 16, his beauty lifted him up. And can I tell you this? If you have an amazing ability or an amazing thing about you, and you'd be surprised, there's something amazing about you. I might not be able to tell you what it is, but somebody could tell you what it is. Some people are exceedingly beautiful, like she was. By the way, the most beautiful people I've ever seen oftentimes destroy their lives, have very miserable lives. Some people are incredibly diligent. They can build a building, a business. They can make all kinds of money. They can do all kinds of things. And it lifts them up about how wonderful they are. There are people who are amazingly good at music. You know how many musicians, Christian musicians, become the centerpiece of their music? The God-given amazing ability, so we should be able to listen and say, oh, my soul, this reminds me of heaven. Oh, God made beautiful music, and listen to that. That music makes me love God. Boy, what a talent God's given that person. Instead, they say, hey, watch how high a note I can hit. Watch how beautiful I can make this. Hey, everybody, listen to me play. Listen to me with the violin. Look what I can do. And because of what God has given you, and without God, you're nothing. And yet we lift ourselves up because of our talents. Somebody who's very intelligent. Oh, boy, they brag to everybody, and they want to tell everybody how intelligent. You could have been born with an IQ of 60. It wasn't anything you did amazing that made you so smart. You didn't choose your brain when you were in your mother's womb. God made you the way you were. You might have ambition. God gave you that ambition. Don't lift yourself up because of it. You might be really good at something else. There have been great Bible teachers who got destroyed because they got proud of their teaching the Bible. It's amazing. Anything can destroy you if you let it lift you up because of what God has given you. And what dost thou have that was not given thee, the Bible says. Anything you have was given to you by God. Without him, you can do nothing. Don't lift yourself up and say, look what I can do. Look how wonderful I am. You sound like Satan in Isaiah 14. Say, Lord, thank you for this gift. Lord, and you know what? When you're exceedingly good at something, you probably know it. Nothing wrong with that. A bunch of you are real good at certain things. I can look around this room and name things that you're good at that you could kill me in. And you're way better than that. But it's not for you to gloat. It's for you to glory. And this, he says, I want you to understand, I made you beautiful. I made you what you are, Israel. You were nothing, but I made you. But verse 15, thou didst trust in thine own beauty. Talented people and great people, and when I say great, I mean people who have great abilities, outstanding people, very diligent, very smart, very brilliant, very talented, they tend to think they can do anything, get away with it, i.e., watch athletes. How often an athlete will go and say, you know what, I'll always be able to, some team will always pick me up, I can go get arrested. Fellow sports, you see that all the time. I can get away with this. You see a really brilliant kid in school, and he'll say, you know what, I can just go back and get my degree later. It's no problem. They think because they're talented, they can get away with a whole bunch of things. And yes, you're beautiful, and you're trusting in your beauty. Number one, he says, you trust in your beauty, but the verse before, it said, through thy comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. And verse 16, of thy garments... Let me finish verse 15. And plainest the harlot because of thy renown, and pourest out thy fornication on everyone that passes by. His it was. And thy garments didst thou take, and deckest the high places with diverse colors. That all the riches that I gave you and blessings I gave you, Israel, you spent them on idolatry. I gave you those riches and bless this nation. Solomon is the greatest king of all the earth because I made him that. David is great because I made him that. I put you in the land of milk and honey, and you've taken all that wealth and all that money and built idols with it. How dare you? I gave you that. And you're committing fornication with every idol that walks by. Later it says, I can't even call you a harlot because a harlot at least gets paid. That's what God says to them. He says, you're just wicked. Number two, the thing God says to them to make them know how he feels, says, you did not remember. Verse 22, and in all thine abominations and all thy whoredoms, thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, when thou wast naked and bare and was polluted in thy blood. Oh, boy, that's a dagger in the heart right there. You don't remember what I made you? You don't remember what I found you like? You know, I tell you what, I've watched Christians that were just pathetic people. I mean, their life was falling apart. God had humbled them. And God made something beautiful out of their life. Something beautiful, something good. All my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he made something beautiful of my life. And that God put their life together. and God gave them a new family, and God gave them a new career, and God gave them diligence, and they could get a new job and make money, and God gave them their brains back that they blew on things, and God gave them everything and gave them a better life, and everything is good again. You know what they start doing? Yeah, let me tell you, son, I want to tell you something. I know what I'm doing here. You need to listen to me. I've never done anything like you. They forget who they were. You ever notice when you succeed how brilliant you are? And you forgot about last month what a loser you were? You ever fail and forget it real quick when you're succeeding? One day you're saying, oh, God, I don't know what to do. I have no hope. I don't know what to do with my life. I thought I had everything together and everything fell apart. Oh, Lord, I need you. And then God puts everything back together. And 6 months later, you're saying, let me tell you something. I know what I'm doing in life. Paul kept on saying, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Am chief. He never forgot who he was. Don't ever get high and mighty and think, you know what? I am so amazing. I'm so smart. I'm so financially successful. I'm so brilliant. I'm so handsome. I'm so wonderful. And forget where you were at one point. Forget what you'd be without God. Forget how hopeless you are and how bad you messed everything up. The farther you get from forgetting where you came from, the less you love God and the less you know you need him. Unless you remember him. See, it's good to remember those really bad times in life. You ever have a really, really, really bad time in your life where everything was dark and you thought there's no way I'm going to make it and how is this going to work out? You know, if you don't keep that little nail sitting there and you don't keep thread tied into that so you can always remember where you were, you won't appreciate anything, and eventually you'll forget how God delivered you, and you'll get haughty, and guess what God's going to have to do to you? I'm sending you back to where you were, pal. You're taking all my glory. Whack! Never forget where you came from. Never forget what you were without God. Never forget your wickedness, your weakness, your hopelessness. Never forget where you came from. Paul still called himself the chief of sinners. Never become so high and mighty and so far from being a sinner that you don't have any compassion anymore. See, sometimes people get their life turned around and get it cleaned up by the grace of God, and then they look down and say, I can't believe how filthy and wicked you are. You lazy, worthless bum. And God says, you weren't so hot yourself a while back. See, people who don't have compassion are people who forgot who they are. You know, when I look at any sinner, I say, but for the grace of God, there could I be. You forgot where you came from. Number three says about, God says about her, he says, you can never be satisfied. You never get satisfied in what you're doing. Verse 28, thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldst not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet wast thou not satisfied herewith. If you're an observant person and you watch life, you see people who think they're going to be happy. And then they get to a certain spot and they get here. Back here they said, if I got to the pulpit, I'd be happy. And they get in the pulpit and say, are you happy yet? No, I'm not happy, but if I get halfway across the pulpit, I'll be happy. So they travel in life, they get halfway across the pulpit, and they say, happy yet? Nope, but I get all the way past the pulpit, I'll be happy. You're already where you said you'd be happy before. Oh, I'm going to be happy there, though. You watch. And they get to the end of the pulpit, and they say, I'm not happy. But when I get to the pillar, I'll be happy. He says, you played the harlot with every male who walked by, every man who came by, yet you cannot be satisfied. Go ahead and try to satisfy your life without God. You cannot. John 4 says, he that drinketh this water will thirst again, but he that drinketh the water that I give him shall never thirst, but in him shall there be a well of water springing up in everlasting life. Only Jesus satisfies. The world doesn't satisfy. You think you're going to eventually get enough money, or you're going to get enough good enough job, or a good enough car, a good enough house. You ain't going to get there. You'll always be saying, okay, so I need more. Why don't you just try getting close to God and be satisfied in a shack in the middle of the jungle? You can be satisfied with Christ. Without Christ, hey, listen, the millionaires still aren't satisfied. The billionaires still aren't satisfied. They get everything they could ever dream of, and yet there still needs to be more. You are never satisfied in all the stuff you keep trying. And the last thing that I really want to focus on is the whole message is verse 30. How weak is thine heart? Saith the Lord, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. He says, you know what? How weak is your heart that here you have the perfect husband, just like my wife, and you have this perfect husband. Don't ask her if that's true. But this perfect husband. And yet, you know what this woman had? She had heart ADD. Attention deficit disorder. Oh, I love you, honey. Ooh, look at him. Oh, him. Oh, who's that guy? Whoa. Oh, look at him. Oh, how weak is your heart? You can't stay focused on me, God says. As a nation, you just keep on, your heart is so weak. Imagine going on a date with somebody and you're sitting across the table from them and you planned a nice date and you got flowers or you got candy or you got whatever. You're a woman, you're wearing the best perfume and did your hair all nice and painted yourself with all that stuff and Bondo and all whatever you do, and you get all good looking and you get all handsome and you put on your deodorant for the first time in weeks and you're a man and you do everything you're supposed to do to look handsome or whatever, and you got this nice restaurant and you're eating it at the fancy expensive restaurant. I don't even know the names of them, and you're whatever they are, and what's expensive fast food? But you go and you're taking them out and you're sitting across from them and the candle's burning. You're looking into her eyes or you're looking in his eyes and they're like, man. Oh, sorry, what were you saying? That guy is the best looking guy I've ever seen. Look at me. Hi, waiter. Oh, man. How you doing? What are you doing after work tonight? Can you imagine that? Would you want to marry somebody like that? Somebody whose heart was so weak. You're walking down the street with them, and all of a sudden, they start talking to some lady. Man, how you doing? Hey, I've never seen you before. Hey, what's your name? It's when you take your purse, make it a lethal weapon. And they can't pay attention. And it says, how weak is your heart that you can't just keep loving me? We have weak hearts today. Weak hearts. People can't stick with love for anything. I got another interest. Oh, look at her. And you know what it's like that with God? Oh, no, I love God with all my heart. No, 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 no. A whole bunch of people say, I love God with all my heart. But all of a sudden, ooh, look at that job. I can't work Sundays and I got that job. God's saying, whoa, hey, remember me? I made you what you were. Oh, yeah, I know about you, but I am making $25 an hour at this job. Oh, look at her. I'm going to date her. God says, wait a minute, she's not even a Christian. Oh, you know what? We can make him spiritual, we can't make him pretty. You gave her to me, Lord. You must have made her. You must have given her to me because she's a beauty of your creation. And, Lord, I'm going to date her anyway. And people just... What about tithing? Hey, I get the first tenth. Oh, no, I got to buy my boat. What about church? Oh, no, no, it's a sunny day, and I got to go work on my yard, and I got to go out and go down to the beach because it's a beautiful day, and I got to go down to Redondo. Isn't that amazing? And I think God looks at Americans, not most Christians. This is an American problem because our hearts are so wandering. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Constantly, God says, hey, focus on me. Love me with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Love me with everything you got. Love me more than anything in the world. Have a strong heart. You've got a weak, how weak is your heart that you can just leave your love for me and just go to somebody else? Have you ever been amazed how somebody could hurt you so easily? People can hurt you pretty easily. And you say, how can you just be that? You ever look at somebody and say, how can they be that mean? How can you be so nasty? How can you not love more than that? How weak is your heart? money, video games, boyfriends or girlfriends, jobs, money, houses, fame, fortune, entertainment, busyness. We wander away from God. I'm just going to wander to another love. I want wealth. I want fame. I want my business. I want my job. I want my money. I want my friends. I want to be famous. I want everybody to love me. I want my drugs. I want my cigarettes. I want my alcohol. And we just leave God for another. I want this world. I want this world's ways. I want its music. I want its system. I want everything about the world. How weak is your heart? I like somebody who says, my heart's fixed, trusting in God. Look at Psalms. Go to Psalms chapter. Go back to Psalms chapter 57. Few people's heart are really fixed in God. They have hearts, and many of our hearts are, you know. And I tell you this, not because you're a bad person, you're a wicked person, because you're a person who has everything to take your heart. Everything in this culture can take your heart from God. So many things grab your attention and your heart and your desires. And so many things want to do things. Listen, Christmas, the heart of Christmas, Jesus Christ, now gifts and shopping and all this other stuff is taking our hearts away. I mean, anything, just we got ADD of the heart. Psalms 57, verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. God, my heart's not going to move away from you. It's fixed. It's staked in the ground. It's implanted. Psalms 108. God says, my heart is fixed. I like when somebody's heart is fixed. Psalms 108. Oh God, my heart is fixed. It's bolted down. It's chained. It's there. I will sing praise and give praise even thy glory. Psalms 112, verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. You know what? I'm not worried about anything. My heart is fixed on God. I love God with all of my heart. I ask you today, does your heart wander? Do other things grab the attention of your heart? Are you like this woman who just, God just looked at him and says, how weak is thine heart? What an amazing question for God to ask. How weak is thine heart that it wanders from me so easily? How weak is your heart that it wanders from God so easily? I'll finish up Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20. How weak is your heart? How weak is thine heart that after all I've done for you, woman, you would do this to me, your husband? How weak, Israel, is your heart that you keep going after these other idols? Why can't you set your heart on me and keep loving me? How weak is your heart? Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1. When thou goest to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. What's that got to do with thy heart? Because God's going to give instructions for battle and going forth to war. And he's going to tell them how to go forth to war and what to do when you're going forth to war in Deuteronomy 20. And can I tell you this? God is disgusted by a weak heart that will not stick. You're going to go through hard times and you're going to leave God. All of a sudden your health fails, you're going to leave God. All of a sudden you get busy, you're going to leave God. How weak is your heart? All of a sudden you find somebody you really like and they're going to draw away from God. How weak is your heart? All of a sudden a bunch of money comes by you. How weak is your heart? How weak is your heart that you take your affection off God so easily and love something else? Look at verse 8. And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is of a fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go and return to his house, lest his brethren's heart faint, as well as his heart. See what God said there? He should tell the leaders of the army, hey, if you're going to quit and you're going to get wimpy and back out and say, oh, I can't take it, and you have a faint heart where you say, I'm not going to fight, we're going to lose, tell that person not to go to the battle, just go home. Go be with the girls. You know why? Because the guy next to you is going to say, oh, we're going to die. Here comes the enemy. And you know these guys walked all tough. All right, we're going to fight them. Oh, look how many there are. They're going to kill us. What are we going to do? Ah, mommy. Ah. Start sucking their thumb. Oh, we're going to die. I thought we were going to win them. I thought the Lord is with us. We're going to die. Ah. We're going to die. Who said we're going to die? We're going to die. Ah! There's a screen up there. Everybody's dying up. I heard them say we're dying. Ah, we're all dying. I'm even. Ah. Says, hey, stay at home. You're not helping. The only good you are for is to take one of the bullets, but after that, you're hurting us. And you know, in church sometimes, somebody washes you and you all of a sudden let your heart wander from God or have a weak heart. And a new Christian looks at you and says, you know, I thought God is real and God is number one and we should put God first. But you know what? When they got the opportunity and got that fun thing they wanted to do their whole life, even though God wanted them to do this, they did it. Yeah, man, that is tough. You know what? You're right. That is tough to turn that down. I'm going to do that. And your enemies fail. Or your enemies win and your friends fail. And you have a weak heart. When going gets tough, does your heart faint? Is your heart a heart that will leave God for other affections and other attentions of the world? How weak is thine heart? Can I ask you tonight, is your heart fixed? It's not going anywhere. I'm going to be here in 10 years. I'm going to be here in 20 years. I'm going to be here the rest of my life serving God. I'm not going to wander from God. Money's not going to turn me from God. Business is not going to turn me from God. Oh, I'm tired? Okay, I'll go to church tired on Sunday. Oh, I'm busy? I'll go to church busy on Sunday. Oh, you know what? I got a lot to do today. I'll still read my Bible. My heart is fixed. I got a lot of money. You know what? I better give it away quick like C.T. Studd did so my heart doesn't get attached to this money. I'm not going to get attached and give my heart away to something else. Oh, you know what? The world has a real fun thing I like doing, but I can't do what God wants me to do if I do that. Well, my heart is not going to be attached to the world. My heart is fixed, trusting in God. How weak is your heart, woman? How can you just do that to me who took you out of a field, dying and bloody, and you just leave me and go sleep with every creature that walks around? How weak is thine heart? And how weak is our heart that we don't give our heart always to God 100%? I'm not saying you're going to go and I'm just going to go commit adultery and everything. But your heart wanders away from God. And little things get your attention, and all of a sudden, boom, you're out of church for a while. All of a sudden, you're not reading your Bible or praying. All of a sudden, you don't love God. And sometimes we go 3 or 4 days, we don't even think about God anymore because our heart got busy with something else. How weak is your heart? Can I ask you, do you become enamored with your beauty or your abilities? Did you forget what God's done for you and where you came from? Are you trying to get satisfied from sin and never get satisfied? And let me ask you this, how weak is your heart? Let's pray together. And Father, another time.